Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
I'm tempted to distract myself and point out that it is really, really snowing out there. Okay, now that I have you all back, did you hear the questions at the end of that skit? What are we facing today, they ask us. Can praise and thanksgiving be a natural response for us? And we hear those kind of questions, we may think that the assumption behind those questions is negative. That giving thanks is a hard thing to do. That it's not natural. Particularly when life has been treating us hard. And for some of us, life has been treating us hard. Well, what if that assumption is wrong? What if for the Christian, giving thanks is indeed the most natural thing in the world? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if thanksgiving being for you a spontaneous, intuitive, instinctive way of life? Some of you can. We know. We see you living that way. And maybe for the rest of us, this is that new day dawning that we've been singing about all morning. It is a new day. Well, how is that life of gratitude possible? Short answer, it's because of the person who is the focus of each of the three stories we just heard in that little skit. That person is Jesus. You see, there's more going on here than meets the eye, particularly when we hear these stories against the big story of what God was doing in the world through Jesus. And that big story, which he is still about, is even bigger than the little miracles he was doing in the stories of the Gospels. Now, you might say that feeding 5,000 or more men, women, and children from 5 loaves and 2 fishes is not a little miracle. And in one sense, you're right. But just having something to eat that day wasn't the primary point. Many of those people would be hungry again the next day. The point of the miracle was not the bread that was filling their stomachs, but the bread of life who was standing in front of them. It is when we take him into ourselves that we are fully and forever satisfied. And then we can respond to the challenges of life, even our hunger and thirst for what we do not have in the externals. We respond very, very differently. Likewise, raising Lazarus from the dead, not a little miracle. That doesn't happen every day. But just giving Lazarus a few more years of earthly life wasn't the primary point. He would eventually die again and remain dead. The point of the miracle was not the breath flowing in and out of his lungs that day, but the resurrection and the life he was calling him out of his tomb. Yeah. We just sang that a few moments ago too, didn't we? It is when we take the breath of God into ourselves that we can finally and fully breathe. And then, yes, we respond to the things in life very differently. Things that take our breath away. And how about the Passover meal? That was the third story that we heard. The little miracle there was a remembrance of a long ago deliverance. That night when the people of Israel ate and drank together in their homes in Egypt before fleeing from slavery. All with the mighty help of God and the plagues and the miracles that God did for them that night and the months to come, they were set free to go home to their promised land. So on that night with the disciples, Jesus was showing them that the miracle was not just so people could move from one land to another. The point was that they could see the promised one himself eating and drinking with at the table with them. And it is, again, when we take him into ourselves that we finally and fully find ourselves at home, living out of the promises of God. Yep. This coming to the table, this taking Christ into ourselves, this ancient Christian act that the earliest Christians called communion, they called it Eucharisto. The Greek word means good grace. That's what Jesus was giving his disciples that night. It's about what we're going to experience here in a few moments. They understood it is not what happens to us externally in life that ultimately makes us thankful. In the end, that ceases to be of a whole lot of importance. Because if that were true, the moment things turn bad, we become ungrateful again, if it's all about the circumstances. And some of us do live in that brutal cycle of alternately thanking and cursing the world or thanking and cursing God. Because we're living our lives dependent upon what this broken world is given to us at any moment. And it has not enough to give us. No, God has better for us than that. His love endures forever.
Yeah.
We said it again and again this morning. His love endures forever. Good grace is what we take into ourselves when we receive Christ into our lives, when we are one with Him. And all of our praise and all of our thanksgiving then flow out of what is true inside of us, what remains true inside of us and remains miraculous no matter what's going on in the externals.
Yeah, so for a moment, let's just let the externals be external, including the snow. And let's look inside. And as we look inside, let's notice that good grace that's already present within every one of us who's joined spirit to spirit with Jesus. And let's notice with wonder that when we take Him into ourselves, He takes us into Himself. And in that union, we finally get to experience the life that we were created to live, the abundant life that Jesus promised us. And that's a life that finds its source within us in that truly miraculous union with Christ. It's a life that flows like rivers of living water from the inside out. It's a life that's not primarily about how much we can get out there. It's about how much we have already been given in here and in here. How much have we already been given? Well, in Christ, we've been given all that is needed to thrive in this life. We've been given everything that we most deeply desired, more than we can ask or imagine, as the scripture says. We are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. See, our human selves have been fashioned like clay jars from the dust of the earth. And yet, even as just common pots, we're filled with the brilliant, overflowing, glorious presence of God as we carry within us the treasure that is Jesus Himself. And again, the scripture in Colossians 2, it's all the way through the New Testament. For He, Jesus, is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. The fullness of God living in a human body. And our own completeness, our wholeness, is now found in Him. Not only someday in heaven, right now. We're complete in Him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. The abundant life that Jesus promised us is not something we have to earn. It's not something that we have to find out there somehow. See, we are already now filled to overflowing. We're joined to and we're sharing in the life of the one who is abundant life. See, the one who is immeasurable love. The one who is inexhaustible generosity. So listen, no matter how you may feel, no matter what challenges you may be facing, no matter what you may be longing for, remember this. You are now completely filled with the overflowing abundance of Christ's life. And I know that sometimes it feels like we're empty. Like something's missing, and we need to go out there and we need to find it, whatever it is. But right now, would you please, let's all of us open our spiritual eyes and see the glorious good grace for what it is. See, you're not missing anything, and me either. We are not missing anything that we need to fully and freely and forever enjoy this miraculous, one-of-a-kind, never-to-be-repeated and never-to-be-ended life that we've already been given in Jesus Christ. He's not missing anything, is He? And He's in us. So guess what? We're not missing anything either. We're joined to the one in which there is no lack. So how can we walk around and say, we're lacking anything that's needed to live with joy, to live with freedom, to live with hope. The things that are not material, that make everything in this physical existence have meaning. See, in Christ, we don't have to live out of emptiness. We don't have to live out of lack. We get to live out of the infinite fullness and abundance that is God's life in us. Now, this isn't a fairy tale. It really isn't. This is the gospel truth. And it's time for us to finally live it, and live it for all to see. And we're hoping this morning, after this beautiful service, and thank you, Sean, week after week, for blessing us with your gifts. My gosh. We're grateful for you. And we're hoping that as we come to the abundant, overflowing feast table of our shared communion with Christ and with each other, we can all come in hope, trusting that no matter what we're facing today or any other day, praise and thanksgiving can and will be the natural response for each one of us. Elders who are serving, come on up. I'm going to pray a prayer for all of us. So let's pray. We come to the Lord's table together as beloved children of God. We come to the Lord's table together, invited by our Lord Jesus, reconciled by our Savior Jesus, who gave his life for the whole world and desires that the whole world would come to the feast table together with him. We come to your table together, risen Christ. Reveal yourself, we pray, in the breaking of the bread, in the sharing of your cup, that we may be the bread of your abundant life, broken open in love for you and our world, that we may be the cup of your sacrificial love, poured out in service to you and our world. In hope that all may one day come together from the east and the west, the north and the south, that all may enjoy together forever the feast of heaven right here on earth. We come to your table together, good and gracious God. We come overflowing with praise and thanksgiving. And the only prayer we have is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.